Benaiah read to us those verses from 1 Timothy chapter 6, but we're actually going to be looking this evening at verses 17 and 18 of that sixth chapter of the first letter to Timothy, where we read from verse 17, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and we thank God for it. So we come to look at these verses for a few moments this evening. The main point that I hope we get from this, which may be obvious, but is my understanding and indeed my prayer, that we as God's people are to strive to be rich in the things of God rather than in the things of the world. All of us here, and I would say most people, are familiar with verse 10 of the sixth chapter, a verse that is often misquoted by people who have little or no understanding of the ways of God at all. Regularly, we hear some people say, money is the root of all evil. It is not. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We know that. I believe we understand that. And here in these words, we have Paul, the aged and experienced apostle, writing to young pastor Timothy, who is facing the heavy responsibility of the church in Ephesus. The task is challenging. And while in the preceding chapters, Paul instructs Timothy to take courage as a pastor, he talks about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ and to fulfill the ministry to which God has called him. But here in these closing verses of chapter 6, he encourages Timothy to give instruction or direction to those under his pastoral care who are rich, the wealthy. And so we have these verses about money matters. The thing is, often when we hear a message such as this, we feel it doesn't apply to us. In fact, I'm told that in many congregations, when it's announced that a sermon is going to be preached about money, most people say to themselves, "Good, I hope they're listening." There are some people who are impressed by worldly wealth. We'll often talk about others who are, in their opinion, rich, but are unaware that they themselves, particularly if they live in somewhere like Guernsey and have a bank account with more than £500 in it, have food in the cupboard and the fridge, have a bed to sleep in at night, and have a permanent postal address, these people are among the top 10% of the most privileged people in the world. That's probably you, and it is me. So firstly, I'd like us to notice and hopefully understand this, that your wealth is not a basis for your hope. Your wealth is not a basis for your hope. Oh, we often sing here, don't we, "In Christ alone my hope is found, and my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Of course we sing it. Of course we believe it. But I wonder if all our earthly possessions were taken away from us in a moment, would we still say that with such conviction? Would I say, like Job said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Riches can make you smug, but they can't give you security. And I think as God's people, you and I need to be reminded of this, because it has always been the case that the Lord's people at times have fallen into the trap, especially if they've been successful in business, of putting too much trust in material wealth and possessions that can be gone in the blink of an eye. The Lord God sent a severe warning to the people of Israel about accrued wealth. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn this with me to this, have a look at Deuteronomy and chapter 8. If you don't, just listen to these words. This is God speaking through his servant Moses, Deuteronomy and chapter 8, and from verse 11. And this is what God says to his people. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses to dwell in, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all you have is multiplied, and your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. And then look with me at verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. I believe that there are two particular dangers in earning or accumulating great wealth. One is arrogance, in thinking that we are better than others. That applies whether we're wealthy or not. The other is that in accumulating riches, we can become self-reliant. Money also can cause us to look at other people differently. It's certainly the case in the world. It shouldn't be in the church. In fact, in the message from the letter to the Romans this morning, which Axa read and Pastor preached on, we had these words. For I say, through the grace given to me to all of you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than they ought to think. Not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. And then in the Epistle of James, we are warned about this. In James chapter 2 and from verse 1, we read, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. You say to the poor man, stand over there, or sit here, sit at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? You know, God is no respecter of persons. He's not impressed by the car I drive, by the clothes I wear, or by the house I live in. He cares about the state of my heart, my eternal soul, your heart, your eternal soul. Proverbs 11:28 says, he who trusts in riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish. A question. Are you rich toward God? You may say, well, Stephen, what do you mean, am I rich toward God? Well, secondly, verse 18 of this passage from 1 Timothy 6 instructs us to be rich in good works, ready to give, ready to share. In other words, be rich in good works. in the help you give others. For some of us, maybe giving doesn't come easily or naturally. Now, I know that many of you do that, and do that willingly and do it regularly. But maybe for some, it's a little more difficult. And by nature, I think, at times anyway, we tend to hold on quite tightly to what is ours. There are some people who check the money markets on a daily basis. They want to see how their investments are doing. Well, that's okay, I suppose, as long as you don't allow it to become an obsession and something that controls you. You know, you don't have to teach a child to say, "That's mine," when simply playing with their toys. By nature, they grab things. It's theirs to hold on to play with. Me and mine. It seems the natural thing to do. That doesn't just apply to our money, friends, or our homes, but our time as well. We say it's mine. It's precious. I wonder if we outgrow that tendency in adulthood when it comes to our possessions, our homes, and our time. Verse 18 again, be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Willing to share. I heard a story the other day about a mother who was preparing pancakes for her two boys, Callum, 8, and Ryan, 6. The boys were sitting at the kitchen table and arguing about who was going to get the first pancake. Mum, thinking there was a lesson to be learned here, said to her two boys, "Now, boys, if Jesus was here, he would say, 'My brother can have the first pancake. I can wait.'" Quick as a flash, Callum turned to Ryan and said, "Okay, Ryan, you be Jesus." Seriously, are we good at sharing what we have? Are we quick to give to others out of the abundance that God has given us? Verse 19 again, it's interesting, isn't it, this verse? Some have interpreted these words as salvation by good works. No, no, no. Those who are rich, and we have established that that means all of us, are to do good. Indeed, to be rich in good works. When this is the case, we enrich ourselves spiritually and make investments for the future of an everlasting kind. This is God's will for the people he blesses. Wealth, riches on their own, can lure a person into a make-believe world of shallow pleasure. But riches plus God's will can introduce a person into a life that is real and a ministry that is lasting. In Matthew's Gospel and chapter 6, we have words of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 6 and from verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But you know, on a positive note, and thirdly, do we enjoy and employ all that God has given us? Do we enjoy and employ all that God has given us? Proverbs 10 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Do you enjoy what God has given you? I sometimes wonder, in the busyness of life, when we are rushing hither and thither, and as the hymn writer puts it, cumbered with a load of care, if we forget how blessed we are. To live in a beautiful island, to see particularly at this time of year the evidence of God's creative hand, we are blessed indeed. Some of you will remember these words. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a tree or flower below that makes thy glory known. And storms arise and tempests blow by order of thy throne. How beautiful God's creation is. Do we enjoy it? Are we thankful for it? Are we thankful for our daily bread? Are we ready to enjoy, to share, to give? I'm reminded of an old chap who many years ago lived in the Cobo area. We'll call him Mr. LePage. No relation to you, Ron. This was a Mr. LePage from Cobo. He lived in a large house. He owned other property in the vicinity. He'd inherited a lot of money and was known to be well off. Now in his late 80s, he rarely left home. One winter's day, a neighbour called on him and was concerned to discover the frugal way in which the old boy was existing. Instead of a tablecloth, old copies of the Guernsey Press covered the table. Instead of a china plate, of which he had many, a chipped tin plate held his meagre meal. His clothes were ragged, and he generally looked unkempt. There was no fire in the grate of the sparsely furnished room. Mr. LePage, said the neighbour, why are you living like this? We know you can afford heating, good food. You could live much more comfortably. Excuse me saying so, Mr. LePage, but when you're gone, all your relatives will be well off and they'll spend your money in no time. The old man lifted his head and replied, well, if they get as much pleasure in spending it as I have in saving it, that's all right. Verse 17 says that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. If God has blessed you, there's no shame in enjoying what he has given you. This is not sinful, it's simply enjoying all that God gives us for his glory. As you know, I'm already enjoying my granddaughter. Being a grandpa is wonderful, but, were I to make more of the gift than the giver, then a problem would arise. In closing, let me remind you of some other words that the Lord Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I wonder this evening, are you willing to say goodbye to being a possessor and becoming a steward, a caretaker of what God has blessed you with? Will you employ your gifts, your talents, your riches aright? You and I do well to remember, as the years are fleeting past, the words of Job. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. Naked here, meaning without possessions. I came with nothing, and I will go with nothing. I encourage you, as I challenge myself, to examine my heart and ask the Lord, the bountiful giver, to examine our hearts in relation to our gifts, our money, our homes, and our time, and see where he challenges us in these things. In all this, may his name be glorified in our lives. Amen.